right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Getaway Wednesday for the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Looks like you don't want to get away. Tomorrow looks fantastic right here. Stick around. Could be a beautiful Thanksgiving Day. Get more from Dr. Bill coming up in just a little bit. Right now, y'all say hello to my buddy, Jeff Poor, with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. What's up, man? There we go. You got to press the right button. There you go. There's Jeff Poor. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, a pleasure. But you and I have not gotten to talk even off the air we didn't get to talk after you did your show on the battleship. What did you think?
It was a pretty cool setting. Luckily, we had good weather for it. Unlike you, though, I don't have a big van to shield me from some of the elements, but it's a box checked.
Yeah, well, my van is your van next time you're in town. No problem on that. So it is a cool place to do it. Next time, we're going to flip it around and find a reason I'll come up and you and I will do something, radio shows from somewhere in Huntsville. Right, something.
Yeah,
we can get it on.
I need to figure that out. But I will. If you can get up here, we'll make it happen.
Something space oriented would be very cool. All right, so a lot to talk about here. And you were in town last week. The reason you were around, you got to do your show from the battleship. You came in to watch the AL1 Republican congressional debate. Now, these days afterwards, there's some polling data on our race down here. This is the first real poll we've talked about.
Well, it's there's a Club for Growth poll that just came out on Monday, WPA Intelligence, the same polling group that polled the Senate race. They also polled this race back in July, and it shows roughly the same results. But having to go back and look, Bill Hightower with a substantial lead, 35%, Chris Pringle, 16%, Jerry Carl, 13%, Wes Lambert, 2%, John Castorani at 1%, and undecided, 33%. But the one thing I would say about this poll is, well, it's Club for Growth, and Club for Growth endorsed Hightower earlier this year. And another crosstab for the poll that they did a favorable name ID. Hightower overwhelmingly has solid name ID, 70% in AL1. Chris Pringle's got 60%, which is pretty decent. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Carl only at 42, so he's got to work on that, according to this poll. Hightower, 32-10, favorable or unfavorable, which is he's above water. 26-8 for Pringle, pretty good. And 23-5 for Carl. Those low numbers with the favorable and unfavorable, that just says that these candidates got to do more to get their name ID out there.
Okay, so as we do, I mean, that's, you could do that a couple different ways. Of course, we'll talk about radio advertising, TV advertising, print advertising for that. That's a big part of it. Also, I mean, there's got to be some shoe leather, right? Just being at events, shaking hands, kissing babies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, knocking on doors, putting out signs, the stuff you do, the kind of trench warfare of campaigns. It's not like you have somebody you come in there. Everybody's heard of, like a Tommy Tuberville or Jeff Sessions. This is a whole different ballgame now, and that's what these candidates, I would say, need to focus on.
Okay, so as you talk about Club for Growth, let's back up for a second, because last time we were talking about Club for Growth and a candidate, we were in the Senate race and we were talking about Jeff Sessions. You said it's not so much that Club for Growth was backing Jeff Sessions as it is Club for Growth is anti Bradley Byrne. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think so. And you know, when you talk to the guys working for Tuberville, they still think they're into running for something from Club for Growth. You know, that they now I would probably think it's more solidly leaning toward, they're more solidly leaning toward Jeff Sessions, but they haven't formally endorsed Sessions Tuberville or anybody. All it is, it's a Never Bradley campaign, which just seems bizarre to me.
Okay, so let me, this has bounced around in my head some, and you can straighten me out on it. But Club for Growth is a group that strongly opposed candidate Donald J. Trump. Is that correct?
Yes, it's at certain points during the contest, yes.
Okay, so Club for Growth on record, this is what I'm saying, if I'm in one of these camps, that has, let's say I'm in Congressman Burns' camp, and I'm thinking about that. If Club for Growth is attacking me, and Club for Growth attacked President Trump, don't I turn that into my next ad campaign and say, why are they attacking me? The same people, same group that was anti-president, anti-candidate Trump, is now think, you know, doesn't want me either. So therefore, I'm more Trump-like than the others.
And here's the thing. We haven't seen any of that stuff yet, really. We've seen a bunch of ads.
But I'm off my rocker, or is that a fair way to look at this through a political lens?
Maybe. The only thing is, do you want to draw too much attention to the Club for Growth? Do you really want to make that?
But they've got an ad out. You know what I'm saying? In the case of Bradley Byrne, and then we'll switch back to AL1 here in a second. But in the Senate race, they have an ad out that's attacking Byrne. So if they are attacking me and impugning, you know, in that ad, don't I say, look who's doing the ad? These are the same people that would have done this or were trying to do this to President Trump.
I think you focus on maybe not the Club for Growth itself, and you go after the candidates getting Club for Growth supported. You put them on defense about Club for Growth. Don't Club for Growth is going to do what Club for Growth is going to do. And if you're Bradley Byrne and you know they're not paying me to give them this advice, I say, well, look who's supporting these other guys. Look at what this group has done to support these guys. Is that the kind of politician you want in Washington, D.C.? That's why you need to take a look at me. I will never, ever take their endorsement. I'm sure you would, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, I do.
You want to put the candidates on defense about who are supporting them, and I think you could do that, but don't make it about Club for Growth as much as you want to make about Jeff Sessions or Tuberville or whoever they wind up supporting.
Right, so I'm following your lead on that. So would that be true in AL1? You said Club for Growth gives the endorsement to Bill Hightower. If you are one of the other four, do you say Bill Hightower? Same thing you said here in that Senate race. Would you try that here in AL1?
Well, not until they come out against you like they are. They have an advertisement that's blasting Bradley Byrne. And here's the other problem. I noticed that I suspect that Bill Hightower was at maybe at one of Bradley Byrne's events last week, is his Mobile headquarters opening. Is he backing the hometown guy? I mean, what does that do? Does that kind of, you know, there's everything is so incestuous that you got to take that into account too. If you're any of these other guys, maybe you want Club for Growth support, or maybe you don't want to get on their bad side for whatever reason. And I cannot get a straight answer from anybody that works for Bradley Byrne, or anybody that works for Club for Growth. They will not tell me why there is such a such a hardcore division. It's not like Bradley Byrne is like Bill Clinton or something. Maybe he was a Democrat at one time, yes, but it's not like he's a left-winger, I should say. And I don't understand why Club for Growth is really going out of its way to try to damage Byrne.
Okay. Hey, by the way, we should back up for a second. Who is Club for Growth? I mean, what's their MO?
It's Chamber of Commerce light, I would say. They're not quite as forthright on the immigration and the opening things up more for more work visas. They're not as corporatist as the Chamber of Commerce, but they do kind of lead in that Chamber of Commerce direction with tax cuts and more of a focus on what makes business work and less about the social programs. You look at Pat Toomey, who's a senator in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's his old group. He used to run the group. You could kind of look at him and, his politics line up with the Club for Growth.
It is. I mean, it can be a sword with two sides is the only way I guess it's important for people to know it, because if you are attacked by a group, you can use whatever the tenets of that group are, if it works for you, and point them out and say, that's why I'm the best candidate, because these people don't like me.
Yeah, and but how much trouble do you want to spend on that? How much are you getting out of that? Remember, at the end of the day, it's all about winning and not defending your name or whatever, right? Does this move voters in one way or another? Is it worth spending money on? I think you got to make those judgment calls.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poore. Talk more about AL1 and the Senate race, plus the impeachment proceedings in Washington. It's all straight ahead on a Thanksgiving Day Eve Mobile Mornings. Right, 22 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. check back in with our buddy Jeff Poore in 1 second. Segment of the show brought to you by The Maids, referred for a reason. Get a call now and get that free estimate. Do what we're doing, using The Maids to make our life easier. 344-6626. 344-6626. Get that estimate now for your house. And this holiday season, give yourself the gift of clean and the gift of time. I mean, those two are so important right now. People coming by the house. First of all, you're making more mess in the house. You got people coming and going. Decorations in and out. You're cooking holiday meals, getting stuff ready for Thanksgiving. So the house is getting messed up. All right. Same time, there's a pretty good chance somebody's going to stop by and visit. Family, friends. You could be hosting Thanksgiving. You could be hosting a Christmas party. You got folks and friends and family coming in for Christmas as well. Give yourself the gift of a clean house and the gift of time this holiday season so you can enjoy the holiday and have a house that looks fantastic. Get the free estimate now. 344-6626, 344-6626, and give yourself that gift of clean and the gift of time this holiday season with The Maids. All right, our conversation with Jeff Poore. Of course, Jeff is with WVNN, but he's got roots here in AL1. If you didn't catch it earlier, if people are just joining us, Jeff, let's run back through some polling for AL1 Club for Growth put out. It had Bill Hightower with a pretty big lead.
Yeah, Bill Hightower at 35%, Chris Pringle 16%, Jerry Carl, Mobile County Commissioner at 13%, Restaurateur, Wes Lambert at 2%, and Army veteran John Castorani, newcomer to the race, at 1%, but 33% undecided, so there's still some votes to be won.
Okay, that's AL1. Let's go to the Republicans in the Senate race. 8 of them in the mix. We talked about Jeff Sessions a good bit, and is it fair to say he's associated with Club for Growth is looking for somebody to endorse? Right now they know they don't want Bradley Byrne, but they're looking for somebody in this race.
Yes, and I think they were the ones that pushed Jeff Sessions. I think there was a collaboration there, perhaps Richard Shelby, perhaps Mitch McConnell. A lot of people in the U.S. Senate that are very fearful of the possibility of Senator Tommy Tuberville or Auburn becoming a thing. So that's what I think is motivating that more than anything.
All right. Other outside money coming in. I mean, I'm thinking back to the special election and Luther Strange and the Senate Leadership Fund, Mitch McConnell's group getting into it. Do you see more outside players beyond Club for Growth?
Oh, yeah. I think Senate Leadership Fund gets in this. I think it'll be the way Jeff Sessions' campaign looks to me, it's going to be kind of a hybrid mix of Richard Shelby 2016/ Luther Strange 2017/ KIV 2018. A lot of the best people, all the money, but maybe you will not see as much of Jeff Sessions as you will the other candidates out there.
Wait, because you mentioned like a KIV thing and you won't see as much. Will there not be, debate? They're going to hide Jeff Sessions?
There was a debate forum 2 nights ago in Butler County up in Greenville. Only Bradley Byrne, Stanley Adair, John Merrill, and Arnold Mooney showed up. Tuberville was scheduled, but he pulled out at the last minute. Sessions was a flat-out no. I think they're going to really pick and choose where their spots are with Sessions. They're going to treat him like a KIV. That may not work for him. Now, it worked for KIV. KIV's KIV. Jeff Sessions. They think that he is in the same place. I'll say this about Jeff Sessions. Another Club for Growth poll. Even if you believe it, I think it's a little high for Sessions. So like 39% is what they got him at. Jeff Sessions is essentially running as the incumbent. Mm-hmm. The incumbent is running is polling at 39%. What does that tell you? That tells you there's enough people out there that were dissatisfied with the status quo. That's a problem. Jeff Sessions is, he may be the leader now, but there's no reason to believe that when any of these candidates drop out, they're all going to all those numbers are going to go Jeff Sessions' way. I think he's got a real fight ahead of him with Tommy Tuberville or Bradley Byrne or whoever it may be. Right now, it looks like a Tuberville Sessions runoff.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing that Jeff's alluding to there, and we all play this game, that, okay, if you go to a runoff, you got 8 people in this Republican primary. Go to a runoff with 2, take the other 6, and where do their supporters go? And sometimes we think we know, and sometimes we're proven right, sometimes we're proven wrong, sometimes the people just stay home.
You're also going to have a big turnout deficiency in that runoff, I think.
Explain that. Explain what happens from March 3rd then a runoff.
March 3rd, there's a bunch of races. There's some judicial races. There's also this presidential race on the ballot. You get to go and get to go vote for Donald Trump if you're a Republican. That is always thought that will drive turnout. That is the theory, is that will drive turnout. But then now you go 4 weeks later. It used to be 6 weeks. Now it's only 4 weeks. It's a four-week sprint from the primary to the primary runoff. No Donald Trump on the ballot. Only one race on the ballot in most of the state, except for the two congressional districts, I think. AL1 and AL2 ought to have a runoff. I don't think anybody there is going to get to 50%. So you may have a little bit higher turnout in Montgomery, Dothan, Mobile, Baldwin County, all along, what do you call it, the dove hunting belt whatever.
Did you hear me the other day? Yeah. So,
yeah, so you'll have, I mean, that could be ground zero for the runoff, I would think, and right now the candidates are using a lot of their resources in North Alabama to run up their name ID. That's all. North Alabama seems to be where these campaigns think they're going to win this election and or win this primary. It's flip flops in the runoff. I think it's a low turnout event, even with the runoffs in AL1 and AL2. I still think it's a low turnout event. But that's where you'll see Jeff Sessions, I suspect, if history is any indicator, will just carpet bomb the hell out of the Birmingham market.
Yeah, when you talk about North Alabama, I can see what you mean, because you mean specifically, you know, the Shoals, Huntsville, that area. Are you talking about Birmingham in that as well?
No, I'm not counting Birmingham. I'm counting everything from Coleman north. That includes the Shoals, Huntsville. That is the Tennessee Valley. Birmingham has its favorites. Birmingham is a peculiar animal. It votes a certain way, whereas there's no consistent pattern in Republican primaries with North Alabama.
All right, Jeff, and the other thing, quickly, just have a minute left here, but looking at Session coming up this year or next year for Montgomery, Lotto and influence of the Porch Creeks and influence of the McGregor Legacy Casinos, how's that going to play?
I think they'll try to do something. I don't think they'll get it. It doesn't seem to be. This is going to be a long ordeal, guys. You got to hear a lot of these ads. The Porch Creeks are pushing. They had the opening bid with their offer. Not a lot of takers, especially in the legislature. Until we get to that, we cross that bridge, then you're not going to get a lottery, I don't think, either.
All right, there he is, Jeff Poor, Jeff Poor Show, and of course, read his work in Landnap. You'll read it in Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. And a happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, even the dogs. Tell them I said, are you going to let them have turkey?
We're going to try. They're here. The whole clan is here before we head up to Nashville. So we're kind of an intermediate place right now.
All right, good deal. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, always a pleasure, man. So much information from Jeff. And we're coming right back. We talked about what happened on Saturday with the killing of the Lowndes County Sheriff. Funeral arrangements on Monday. A friend of mine who is a district judge for Lowndes County and very familiar with the man who passed is going to join us here. Judge Adrian Johnson joins us right after the news.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton.
So we've got a pretty big holiday this week, and then after that, of course, Black Friday. First off, tell me your hours for Thanksgiving and also some of the great deals people can get out at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, buddy. Well, we are actually closed tomorrow. You know, Dalton, we've been around, for people listening that may not know, since 1955. And, you know, today we got a Thanksgiving lunch for our employees and all their families. And, you know, buddy, one of my favorite things, we have some people been working for us for 35 years, so it's just very gratifying, and want to wish everybody a healthy and blessed Thanksgiving, and just remind everybody listening that Black Friday already started at McConnell, and we've got 25% off some of our vehicles, 0% interest. Thought the biggest discounts I've ever seen on the new truck that everybody's after with that six-function tailgate, and it's all on our website. We are open today, closed tomorrow, and back open on Friday.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Mitch.
Y'all have a blessed, happy Thanksgiving, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 838 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Thanksgiving Day Eve. We'll get more updates weather-wise from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. That's on the way, plus Kane keeping us in the loop on traffic. Mentioned before we went to the news break, more on the story of the killing of Lowndes County Sheriff Big John Williams. The story we've talked about this week, of course, happened on Saturday. And I mentioned that we get some more insight into the man, Big John Williams. We've heard from folks in the law enforcement world that the amount of respect for this sheriff, and a buddy of mine, originally a Mobile County guy, he's Lowndes County man now, but a buddy of mine for a long time, is the district judge in Lowndes County, and Adrian Johnson joins us now to talk about Big John. Thanks for being on.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about my friend John Williams.
You know, this is a relationship between somebody as a judge like you and the sheriff of a county like Lowndes County. Y'all's interaction, you must have had a whole bunch of interaction.
I saw him nearly on a daily basis, and John Williams was a pillar in our community. You know, we're a very small county. Lowndes County only has about 12,000 people, and so when I tell you that literally every person in the county knew and loved our sheriff, that's not an exaggeration. And John knew just about everybody in the county. He knew every family. He knew all the children by name and would greet them by name. Just he was that kind of a generous, kind, loving person that reached out to everybody. As I heard it said this week, he was the kind of person that made you think that he was your best friend.
Well, that's in the job of a sheriff, knowing folks, and I mean, number one, just for the relationship with people, but I think it makes you better in law enforcement. You know, I mean, you're more apt to know things before anybody else if you have that kind of relationship.
Well, that's what made this incident so shocking, is because John had the kind of presence that his presence alone in being somewhere would calm the tensest of situations. He just had this kind of presence about him. He was a calm, gentle person, but he was obviously a tall guy, hence the name Big John. He had this deep, booming voice, and usually that was enough to resolve any situation. And so this is just such a tragic loss for our community. I mean, I loved him dearly. He was a very close friend of mine. He and I have been in office the exact same amount of time. I was appointed by Governor Riley and took office January 3rd of 2011. The sheriff had been elected in 2010, so he took office about 2 weeks after I did in January of 2011. So I've served alongside him during his entire tenure as our sheriff, and I can't begin to express to you how much I loved and respected that man, because I know that he loved me, he loved my family, he loved everyone in our community, and he showed it on a daily basis.
Talking to Judge Adrian Johnson in Lowndes County about Big John and the passing of a man whose reputation went well beyond Lowndes County. Big John Williams getting, we've talked to law enforcement folks down here that knew and had great respect for him. Also, watching the people that have come to Lowndes County, you've had Senator Doug Jones came. I think Jeff Sessions came, right?
That's correct. I had the privilege to accompany Senator Jones on Monday. He came and made a special trip to Hamble to go and visit with the family. I spoke with Jeff Sessions on Sunday. He had reached out to me and asked if it would be all right if he came through and visited with the family, and so he and his wife made a special trip to come and visit with the family yesterday, and I was privileged to accompany them as well. And the outpouring of support for the Williams family has been tremendous. You know, we love and support Joanne, his wife, Shanice, his daughter, and John, his son, and of course all their grandchildren, and you know, we're wrapping our arms around them and trying to tell them how much we love and care for them. But our whole community is hurting. We've had events nearly every day. There was an impromptu prayer vigil on the town square in Hamble on Sunday afternoon. We had an organized community prayer vigil on Monday night, and the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, was present at that and had some really uplifting and encouraging words for everyone that was there. We've got another event planned on Friday, balloon release in honor of the sheriff, and of course the funeral is to take place on Monday at Garrett Coliseum in Montgomery.
Yeah, I know you can't talk specifically about the case, and you even pointed out, I think I said the other day, you had recused yourself on this, but let's talk about overall state of Alabama. 5 law enforcement officers killed just this year. This is, maybe the numbers have been higher in the past, but it's shocking to a lot of folks.
It really is. I think it's symptomatic of a problem we have in our community, where I think there's less and less respect for law enforcement. I think there's less and less respect for human life and human dignity. It's difficult to fathom, regardless if it's a sheriff or anyone else, for someone being killed over something as insignificant as asking someone to turn their radio down and move their vehicle. And so I think it's symptomatic of a larger problem in our society. And I hope that we can all learn from these incidences that we need to be unified. We need to love one another. That's the most important thing that we can learn in times like these, is that we have to love one another and treat one another truly as we would like to be treated ourselves.
Well said. Well said. I think, you know, it's the flip side of this. It's tough when you see law enforcement people being killed, and then you think about the situation that was laid out, that you laid out about that turning the music down, moving the vehicle. It gives regular citizens who are not law enforcement, who don't have the experience, don't have the training, real pause. People say, well, why don't people help out that person or get involved in that situation? And I think, Adrian, this has to be part of why people don't. They see something like this and they go, gosh, that happened to somebody who was trained and armed. What about me?
Yeah, exactly. I think there are a lot of issues in our society right now. I'm sure that in Mobile, everyone's following the Anaya Blanchard case out of Lee County, and there was a lot of criticism about the witness that didn't come forward to law enforcement and said that he was scared.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we certainly want everybody to report any incident that they believe is a crime, I understand. I can understand the reluctance of someone to come forward. And so it's something that we certainly need to try to address as a community here in Lowndes County. We need to address it in Alabama and in our nation as a whole. We have to be engaged in our society. You know, our system doesn't work unless everyone is engaged in that system.
Correct. Maybe one of the few takeaways from this that could be positive will be a spark that starts there in Lowndes County that makes that movement grow. You know, that what we can take from this is there will be people wake up, open their eyes, and maybe make their journey towards that place you want them to be.
That's correct. And I think that's one of the things that we're doing as a community, that we're praying for each other right now. You know, we're trying to lift one another up. We're lifting everyone up in our community. And that's regardless of race, that's regardless of socioeconomic status, that's regardless of religion. Everyone in our community is coming together as one, and we're all hurting, we're all in grief, but we want to make sure that everyone knows that we're unified in our county, in our love and our support for our sheriff. And we want to continue to do that in the coming days, the coming months, and the coming years, because the family's going to continue to struggle, and we're all going to continue to struggle with such a tremendous loss. I mean, Sheriff Williams was one of those people in our community that literally held everything together. He was at every event. He led every funeral procession in the county. If there was something going on, he was there. I attend the Hamble Baptist Church in Hamble, and the sheriff came every Wednesday night and ate supper with us and attended Bible study with us, even though we weren't the church he normally attended.
Wow.
He's a member of the original Shiloh Baptist Church in Hamble, but that's just the kind of person that he was.
What a testament. What a testament. Well, for folks in Lowndes County, let them know, the rest of the state mourns with them. People down here in southwest Alabama, have them in our prayers.
Well, Sean, we certainly appreciate it, and we appreciate the prayers and support of people throughout the state of Alabama. Again, the outpouring has been tremendous, not only from in the state of Alabama, but from people around the nation as well. I know everyone in law enforcement across the nation has reached out to the family. I'm sure that there's going to be such a tremendous outpouring from law enforcement on the funeral on Monday, and that's the reason we had to move the funeral services to Garrett Coliseum in Montgomery, because I don't think there's anywhere in Lowndes County that could accommodate the size of crowd that's anticipated to be there. And that's a testament to the kind of person and the character that Big John had.
Well said. District Judge, Lowndes County, Adrian Johnson, thank you for your time. Thanks for helping us know more about Big John Williams.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, and that is a firsthand account from one of his friends and what that loss meant to the community there in Lowndes County. Coming right back to wrap it up here on a Wednesday edition. Seems like a short week because tomorrow's Thanksgiving edition of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Big thank you to Judge Adrian Johnson. He's doing what he wasn't a judge. He wasn't even officially a lawyer back then. Then got to be a lawyer.
You know, pre-gavel.
Yeah, pre-gavel. And not only a judge, guy can pick a guitar, too. And his wife sings like Patsy Cline. She's got beautiful
hair. Wow.
Yeah, they're quite the duo. I always was just told, I'm jealous of y'all. I got a wife that sings beautifully as well, so I just can't play guitar.
You can act like you could
play. I could play air guitar.
Or, yeah, just turn on the radio, whatever, and pick up a guitar and act like you're strumming, like so many musicians do nowadays.
There's a lot of truth in that. Hey, what kind of turkey are you having for Thanksgiving?
Man, I don't want to say it.
84 or 151? What?
Oh, good question. Yeah, 151.
Okay, yeah, get the,
as wild as possible.
Yeah, what is it? I think it's 100. Maybe it's 101 proof wild turkey. Whatever the stuff with the extra kick.
Yeah, well,
there's 80 something, like 86 and 101. I think it's maybe it's 101.
I don't really know the numbers. I just when I'm in the store, I look for the highest number possible, grab that, and go on my way. But yeah, I'm going with the wild turkey.
That's the kind of turkey you're having.
I'm gonna carve it up.
Carve it up one glass at a time. I mentioned this at the end of Midday Mobile yesterday. I was wondering about the Mobile City Council because they've been going so long. I'm not able to listen to the whole council meeting before the show starts on a Tuesday. And I saw something pop up about synchronized lights. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my gosh, I hope they're talking about synchronizing Airport Boulevard, because it's been, I think 2 years ago, they first started talking about this. I was very excited, and I've said anecdotally, for me, I travel travel airport from the Azalea McGregor area to here at the interstate where the station is, like every day, every weekday, multiple times.
That's what? You travel through one, two, three. Like four lights, five lights?
Let's back it up and say it depends on where I often take the service road just to avoid that. But yeah, one, two, three, four
lights.
Four, if I don't get off, and even the service road's affected by the lights too. There's been no way, and I come in to work at 4-something in the morning, and I test this. Mm-hmm. Even I may or may not exceed the speed limit I probably don't. a little bit. You cannot make it from a green light and get on through the next light with the green light.
It's impossible.
I mean, if you went like some, you know, outrageous rate of speed, some dangerous rate, maybe. But if you're in the normal confines of what the speed limit is, you can't make it to the next, and you've got to stop. And you're like, there's no reason. So this idea about synchronizing the lights, Fox 10 has a story here. It said, how many times have you driven down Airport Boulevard in Mobile frustrated because you're sitting in traffic? Everybody just raised their hand. It says city traffic engineers have made some improvements to traffic flow and just in time for the Christmas season. Mayor Sandy Stimson says about 3 months ago, the city completed a project to synchronize lights on airport between Sage and McGregor Avenue. I don't believe it. This part of the project cost $750,000. Why? Ooh. Does it cost that? I mean, I'm ignorant to what it takes to synchronize lights. Mayor says more work is coming on airport. Mayor said we will continue to work on Airport Boulevard till we get it all the way to the airport. There are two more phases from McGregor going west. I think it goes to Hillcrest, and then there'll be from Hillcrest out to the airport eventually. And the mayor says another busy stretch of Mobile is coming next, Government Street. But let's stay off Government Street. Let's talk about airport for a second. If they have been synchronized, now I need to do another test. Mm-hmm. Some morning soon, do another test on airport. But it's been where you can't. Maybe it's better, but all I'm asking is if you leave with no traffic on the road and you have a green light and I'm going east, let's say I'm going east here, and the light turns green and I go, I should be able, with no traffic on the road and doing the speed limit, I should be able to make it through all the lights. I'm not talking about traffic. I'm talking about open roadway. Doing the speed limit, you should be able to make it down to the interstate here.
Right.
And it seems like, is that not a fair...
Seems like a modern city would have that. And Mobile is a modern city, so maybe this is kind of the last step in getting all of our traffic woes figured out. But anytime you ask somebody, and I don't know how long it's been since they did like 10 busiest or 10 most dangerous intersections in Alabama, but the last time I saw it, there were like at least four in Mobile, and at least three of those were intersections on Airport Boulevard.
Oh, yeah, University and Airport is.
I imagine this would help with safety, too, instead of stopping and going. If you're having to stop every light, I don't do it. I don't run red lights, but people that do run red lights, they might be a little bit more apt to run a red light if it's the third time they've had to stop in the last 2 minutes.
Probably right. Probably right.
So by opening it up, hopefully that would help with some of these red light crossers And we have many of them here in this area.
Right here. This is Red Light Running Central.
Yeah.
And it's not even, the one that gets me is not even the first person that runs a red light. It's the people that follow them that you know their excuse if they got stopped to be like, well, they did it.
Uh-huh.
They did it.
But that's good news, opening up airport.
So, yes, please, let's get that synchronization perfect so I can get on through the lights.
And then we'll teach service road etiquette after that.
It's going to be a long lesson. It's a 400-level course. Hey, let me tell you, this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for all of y'all, all my friends and staff here at FM Talk 106.5 that makes this happen, and all of y'all that listen, thank you. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Mike Gallagher next.